Welcome to the Institute for Digital Transformation's Digital Dialogue podcast. In this episode, we bring you a thought-provoking discussion featuring experts tackling the pressing challenges reshaping the business world. Listen as they delve into practical solutions and strategic insights that leaders can leverage to excel in today's rapidly evolving digital landscape. Enjoy this engaging dialogue designed to inspire innovation and equip you with tools for transformative leadership in the digital age. Let's dive into the conversation that's driving the future of business.
Welcome, everyone. I'm Jeff Tun. I'm a fellow for the Institute of Digital Transformation, and I'm excited to be here on Digital Dialogue today. Several years ago, my wife and I set out with the goal of traveling the entire Lewis and Clark Trail, from Monticello, Virginia to Astoria, Oregon. Every vacation, every long weekend was dedicated to a part of the trail. My boss challenged me to find leadership lessons in the expedition. I think he was a little tired of hearing me talk about it all the time. But that actually sparked a passion for using history as a metaphor for teaching leadership lessons. Today on Digital Dialogue, I'm joined by two very special guests. Tamara Franklin, the Chief Digital and Data Analytics Officer for Marsh, and Lisa Cavanaugh, the Vice President of Leadership Development Experiences for FCCS. We are going to discuss one of the most powerful leadership development programs that I've had the pleasure to be a part of, the Lewis and Clark Experience, A New Way Forward. Trust me, stick around. There are lessons for the digital leader of today. I have some questions that I'm going to ask our guests, but we'd also love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, be sure to type it into chat. Tammy and Lisa, welcome to Digital Dialogue.
Thank you, Joe.
Thanks so much, Jeff.
Lisa, I want to start with you. FCCS has been using the concept of metaphors from history to help teach leadership for a number of years. Why are these stories from the past so powerful to teach how to lead into the future?
That's a great question, Jeff. Using metaphors really allows us to take powerful storytelling and bring it to life for people who may be new to the story of Lewis and Clark or new to the story of the Battle of Gettysburg. But in using those stories, we're really able to demonstrate strong leadership in really difficult circumstances. And it may seem really weird to say we can go back to the early 1800s for leadership lessons. But if you think about what the core of discovery had to go through in terms of unexpected obstacles and things that changed, dealing with the unknown, those are the same challenges that leaders are facing today. So people are really able to learn from those experiences while being separated enough from the pieces of historical telling of the tale to be able to really keep those lessons crisp and then apply them to their own lives, which is, I think, where the power comes
from. I agree with you. I think the whole concept of the storytelling, but always bringing it back to today, really makes a great combination. And when you think about the Lewis and Clark expedition, you know, three and a half years, depending on where you count where it starts from, there's probably hundreds of leadership lessons that we could use to teach lessons today. And we only have time to talk about a few. So journaling was a huge part of the Lewis and Clark expedition. They wrote over a million words during their journey. And I've grown to appreciate how much of a leadership tool that can be for leaders today. So, Tammy, I have a question for you. You had the opportunity to experience the Lewis and Clark Experience back in August in Montana. Were you a journal keeper before you arrived at Great Falls?
You know, I had been in my younger years. I had been quite a prolific journal keeper and writer. I'm an English major by background, so writing is actually a personal passion of mine, and found tremendous value. And then just life gets in the way, and I had gotten away from it, quite frankly. So it was really fun being reintroduced to it a little bit in Montana through your program. And so since then, have kind of gotten back into the journaling. not every day, you know, but maybe every weekend or so, a little bit here and a little bit there. But I had forgotten how much I had missed it, actually.
That's excellent. I count that as a success that you're continuing. When you think back on that 2.5-3 day experience, a lot of the exercises, we have you reflect in your journal. What insights really came to life from you through that journaling experience?
Yeah, you know, I think so. In preparation for today's discussion, I went back and kind of reread my writings from those 3 days, which took place almost 2 months ago to the day. And so I was, you know, what surprised me, the insight I got was really in the journaling. I was able to be a little bit more, I think, transparent, if you will. My writing appeared to me to be a little bit more raw, maybe even on some level, a little bit emotional. It was almost as though in the writing process, I was kind of able to let my guard down a little bit and just in terms of censoring my own thoughts and reactions. And so rereading that, which allowed me to relive that moment, right, about which I was writing, was very restorative for me, I found. And I was kind of surprised by that.
That's excellent. I love the concept of capturing in your journal and then going back and rereading it. Lisa, I'd love your thoughts, with given your background on leadership development. Why do you think that journaling is such a powerful leadership tool?
That's such a great question. And I think it really derives from the fact to understand what we're thinking, we need to write. When we write things down, we tend to crystallize the underlying kind of emotion and experience in a different way. And I think that helps us then order our thinking more effectively. So that journal keeping process is really powerful. For me, it's not, I don't journal, here's what happened today. I do journal kind of what I'm thinking about on a given day. But then I also think about, you know, what would I want to do differently? How did that experience impact me? What that allows me to do, and I love that Tammy brought it up, when you go back then and review those journals a few months later or a few weeks later or a few years later, you learn more about yourself and where your thinking was at that point in time, and you can start to see how far you've come. And if you don't journal, you kind of lose that thread over time, which is I think there's just so much power in the way it can evolve your thinking and the way it can help you see yourself and allow you to reflect on what's happening in your world.
Excellent points.
It looks like from some of the comments that we have some folks that are journal keepers on listening in on the dialogue today. So that is fantastic. Would love if you would share in the chat why you find it so powerful as we continue our discussion. The other thing that strikes me about the Lewis and Clark expedition is, depending on when you count the members of the Corps of Discovery, there was anywhere between 30 to 50, maybe 55 at any one time. And yes, the Corps was made up of mostly men, but they did have Sacagawea, a woman who went along with them from what is today near Bismarck, North Dakota, westward. But what really strikes me as I think about them is that every single person on what became the permanent party that left that spring was a leader. They had built leadership throughout that. And I think the lesson for us today is that you must have a team of leaders to do transformative things for your organization. So, Lisa, I know we focused on leadership for this program overall, but specifically we focused on how do you build this team of leaders. You've seen the program several times now. What are some aha moments you've had that you've seen our participants gain through that process?
You may have to stop me at some point because I could spend hours on this, and I know we don't have hours today. I think one of the most important is what you talked about in terms of the makeup of the team and how that changed over time. And while the permanent party was permanent for a part of the expedition, it actually adjusted quite a bit. The things that I think people really take away are the importance of the vision and being able to not just say, here's a vision and we're going to tack it on the wall, but instead for every single member of that party bringing that vision to life so that they were really clear how they impacted the execution of the vision. That then can inform who do you invite onto the team. I think this is one of the big ahas. The need to put so much time and effort into being really clear about what it is that you want to accomplish, what skills and capabilities do you need on the team to be able to accomplish it, but also what's the character of the people that you're bringing onto the team. So then you're not only, you don't just have the right skills, you also have the right mindset amongst the team so that you can be really effective together. And the flip side of that, and I think this is another one of the big ahas, is removing members from the team when they're not keeping to their obligations in order to support the integrity of the mission and the integrity of the team, right? You need to protect both of those. I think those are the big ahas, those critical skills, the vision and the mission, the character of the people, and the willing to take action when it's not going the way it should.
Yeah, the fact that it's not fixed, right, at any given moment in time, it's fluid. Yeah.
Well, Tammy, I know that team building was particularly an emphasis of yours back in August because you were relatively new in your role and you brought, what, 8 or 9 of your team members with you to this experience. What were some of the key takeaways that you and your team had?
Yeah, you know, so I was relatively new in my role. I had joined and inherited a team, right? And I had added to the team. So we were really dealing with new team members, new dynamics, still trying to get to know one another. Lisa was just talking about, you know, the skill sets and the mindsets. But we were still learning a lot about one another in that sense. It was really important for us to come together. You know, for me, this session, because, you know, team building, there are obviously lots of options for team building. And many of them revolve around history. I think about things like NASA. Often you do Challenger, you do Apollo 13, and you learn from that. But what we thought was really intriguing about this was the opportunity not only to learn the lessons, but the environment in which we were going to learn the lessons, right? The concept of being able to physically be in the environment and experience it, you know, as closely as you could firsthand to what they experienced at the time and talk about what they were dealing with in the moment. We just thought that the immersive nature of that, getting us out of a building, out of a classroom, and out into the environment was really, really critical for clearing our minds and truly being able to look at ourselves and our team differently because we were in a totally different environment that we had never experienced together before.
And that does pull you together. And I love this picture that's on the screen right now. This is at a stop along the Missouri River, just off to the left there is the river. And it really feels a lot like it would have 200 years ago when you're there. And to be able to share that and then talk about it later, I think is a great point. When I think of the expedition and some of the things that they did to help build that team, the training from day one, as an example, at Fort Mandan, at Camp Dubois, when they were really forming that team and really teaching the skills, right? They hired for skill and they hired for character. It was, I think, one of the great things that the captains did. I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit, Tammy. As a leader, now you're several months in, have you looked at that training from day one and as you think about the team and their development plans? Is that something you've baked in yet?
Yeah. So you know, you come to, so, you know, when we work in the digital space, digital transformation, we're building digital products and services in the brokerage industry. And, you know, many of the team members come to us with really great hard skill sets. They're great digital designers. They're great coders, right? They're great product development people. But a lot of that is then about how do you continue to develop and evolve those skills, right? Because again, there's not a fixed moment in time. Things are moving very rapidly. And so how do you make sure that the team doesn't become so insular in the work that we're doing that we're not looking outwards and ensuring that we're keeping up with the pace of how the industry is changing and making time, right? Creating that, we call it white space for people to engage in other activities, other opportunities to learn so that we hired them because they had done so much and invested so much in themselves. How do we ensure that we continue to give them the time and the funding to continue to invest in those resources?
And Lisa, since I put Tammy on the spot, I'm going to put you on the spot as well. Michael just had a great comment about understanding the strengths and the skills of your team helps you better align them to the mission of what you're doing. So, Lisa, when you're looking at your own team there at FCCS, how do you understand the skills that the team has and the skills that they need to achieve your vision?
Oh, that's such a good question. So I joined FCCS in April of 2020, right when the pandemic shut everything down. So my experience with my team was a whole lot of virtual activity. And so a lot of what I was doing was helping them take on a new skill set because we needed to pivot from delivering programs in person to being able to do that effectively online. And then how do we integrate that into our programs even as we've been able to go back to in-person programs? And so a lot of it for me was observation and really paying close attention to how are they functioning day to day? Where did they have questions or concerns that were coming up? And then just having bold, candid conversations about what's going well? What are you struggling with? What are the new skills that we need to bring on board? What that allowed us to do was really understand what were the strengths, what were the weaknesses, where did we have good synergies between team members. But it also required psychological safety. We made it okay to not be good at something. We made it okay to say, I don't know how to do that, or I'm afraid to do that, so that they could get the appropriate support as they were going through the process. And I think that psychological safety may be the most critical component, because if you don't feel like you can admit, I don't know the answer to this, I don't know how to do this, it becomes really problematic. And as a leader, part of my job was to say, I don't know how to do this either, but we can figure it out together. There is a solution. We just have to do it together.
That was one of my takeaways from the experience in August with Marsh. For our listeners, this was not a fully dedicated program to Marsh, but it was a combination of Marsh and FCCS, who are partners in business. And so we had the CEO from FCCS attended, and the vice president, I forget John's exact title, he'll kill me, but John was there as well from Marsh. And what I saw in them was exactly what Lisa was talking about, the ability to create a safe space and say that admit that they didn't know something or question in their own mind or question out loud with the group. And I thought that was very powerful. The thing that comes to mind with the two of them was we do this exercise, and I don't want to give away too much detail in case our people that are attending today want to sign up for this next year. We do a where almost a role play where there's two people that are, one's Captain Lewis and one's Captain Clark. And we had John and Chad step in to be Lewis and Clark. So Tammy, thinking back to that exercise that we were doing there in that shelter house along the river, what came to light for you watching them interact in the way they handled that?
Yeah, you know, I think Lisa hit it spot on when she talked about creating that safe space, that environment, right? You want, as a leader in particular, you want to create an environment that allows people to tell you what you need to know, not just what you want to know, right? Or what you want to hear. And allowing people that opportunity to do that, they welcome, they listen, they ask questions, right? I always use the phrase, you want to use all the gray matter in the room. Sometimes you don't really know who's going to be the expert that steps in that makes all the difference, right? And so how do you open that aperture for more dialogue, more interaction? And then you hope that the leader, and you're training people to be the leader that I always say that, you know, emerges in that moment that matters, right? But you don't often know who that's going to be. And so I thought, for me, that was a big aha moment in watching that interaction.
And Lisa, similar question for you. Your CEO was, I think he was Clark, as I recall. But what was your takeaway from watching that and how they handled that situation?
You know, it was really funny because we have done this a number of times, and it was the first time that I saw them actually walk away from the space that we were doing the exercise in to have a private conversation. I believe it was with Croissant, who has been recently rechristened Croissant. Croissant was a member of the permanent party who was the river man. He knew the water. But rather than challenge Croissant publicly in front of the entire group, Lewis and Clark, in the exercise, took him aside and asked him questions and really had a really powerful dialogue there before they came back to the group to share their decision. And I think protecting people is really powerful, giving them an opportunity to not feel like they're being interrogated in public or challenged in public. I think the other thing that I was really powerful in, and I was thinking is, about this as Tammy was talking, is sometimes the expertise in the room isn't the technical knowledge. Sometimes the expertise in the room shows up as the questions people ask. And I think there's so much power in that. And that is one of the things that I saw in that reenactment and that role play was they were asking really powerful questions that enabled the team to gain confidence. So they got more information, but it also built confidence across the world.
I love that. And that is such a powerful exercise. Another thing about the Lewis and Clark expedition that makes it special, and there's a great Far Side cartoon, if you're a follower of Far Side, and it's William Clark's mother reading a news announcement about the Lewis and Clark expedition. And she says, there it is again. Lewis and Clark. Why isn't it Clark and Lewis? You got to nip this in the bud right now. So it's very funny. You should look that up. Something that we don't really dive deep into, we do talk about it some during the 2.5 days, but this whole concept of co-captains, the fact that Lewis and Clark led this expedition. When you think about the business world today, Tammy, think about that. What are your thoughts that come to mind when you think about that co-captain, and how do we balance that with kind of the hierarchical business world today?
Yeah. I love the concept of co-captain. I think it's in the business world, what I have seen, my experience suggests that it's sometimes difficult for people to pull that off. Some of the reasons why people in corporate America get where they get is because they do have, they're a little bit aggressive type A, they do have significant egos, and then asking to share that power structure can be pretty difficult. But I do think where people can get to the point where they realize that there's a yin and a yang, right? That they work better together, that they have some distinct skill sets, right? But the collaboration across the two, so they're not threatened because their knowledge base is somewhat distinct, but the bringing of it together is very powerful. And obviously you want to set, you know, the rewards and incentives together so that everybody wins type of thing. But I thought that was really interesting. I have noted a couple of times that I've seen that pulled off very successfully in corporate America, but I do think it's a difficult thing to achieve.
Yeah. When you have those personalities, it's amazing they were able to pull it off. Lisa, anything to add to that about the whole concept of co-captains?
Yeah. Well, I totally agree with everything that Tammy said. The only thing that I might add to it is that it took a tremendous level of trust between the two of them to be able to allow each other to make mistakes, allow each other to be successful, and not have that kind of damaged the relationship in any way. So that trust that they built, I think, was incredibly powerful. And then I would just reiterate what Tammy said, the complementary skill sets that the two of them brought worked really well together. And I think there's tremendous power in that, because then you don't have to be all things to all people. You've got another person you can rely on to reinforce your weak spots and help kind of amplify their strengths.
Yeah. The fact that their very survival relied on their being successful probably helped a little bit.
You know, and in the book Attraction by Gino Wickman, he talks about having two leaders, a visionary and an integrator. Mm-hmm. And you kind of see that in Lewis and Clark, right? You see Lewis is this visionary, he's the eloquent writer, and you've got Clark who's I'm gonna get stuff done. And he really goes into that. So I know we're running up on time. And so I want to make sure that we get to this one last question. And thinking, Tammy, I'm going to direct this at you first. Thinking back on the time you spent this summer, what's the most significant lesson that carried you into your new way forward?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's a tough one because there were truly quite a few. I mean, I'm going to cheat a little bit, name just a couple, because resilience was actually an underlying theme the whole time, right? How do you instill it into your team's DNA through building of team rituals and demonstration? You know, the importance of building that ecosystem of alliances also resonated with us in kind of the digital world. Again, very complex, always changing. You can't do it all. So all those partnerships and things are so critical. We talked about diversity, right? All the research shows the diversity of thought, style, experience, expertise, all of that leads to better outcomes, right? And so we saw that. We saw that in terms of the diversity of experience that came to bear here. So, you know, I think all of those are important, but I think if I had to pick one, it would be that theme of proceed on, right? That concept of managing through the cycles of rest and reorientation and realignment and cycling through that as a framework for keeping the team, you know, focused during very trying and tumultuous times. That would be probably my one if I had to stick to one.
Yeah, that proceeding on, I tell you, you can just see them on certain days just putting one foot in front of the other, right? Just kind of slogging through. Lisa, you've been a facilitator, what, 5 times now for this over the last 2 years? What's the most significant lesson you have taken away from this?
Gosh, well, one, I feel like I should change my answer because Tammy gave it away. That thing is wonderful. But here's the reality. But it's a hard question for me because I think it's been 6 times, Jeff. And every time I learn something new, it feels like there are or I connect with something differently than maybe I did in the past because there are so many layers to the lessons of the expedition. It was such a tough expedition. But I have to agree with Tammy, the proceeding on module, when you've brought a group of people together to achieve a really remarkable accomplishment, and this was a really remarkable accomplishment that they did, the fact that they kept going, even when they realized there wasn't a lot of route that would go all the way through, the fact that they kept going, despite the fact that, you know, this or that tool or technique didn't work when they expected it to, I think it was so powerful. But then when you go through all of that together and you get to the end and you've accomplished this amazing goal, it can be a real letdown, right? So you've got to be celebrating milestones. You've got to be celebrating you achieved the goal. But then you may be left with this feeling of, now what? What's next? Like I've just achieved my life's dream, my life's purpose. Like, what do you do then? And so taking that time to rest and reorient, realign, reflect, all of those great R words so that you can rebuild the energy and the resilience and the passion for the next thing that comes along. But if you don't take that break, if you don't acknowledge that it's a really significant crucible almost that you've accomplished, if you don't stop and recognize it, it's really hard to then be able to let that go so that you can build on that success later on. So I think proceeding on for me, like you, Tammy, is the one that just, wow.
Yeah. That is such a powerful module. And John is asking in the comments about what was the most significant thing that I've learned. And I would say that the most impactful thing to date, I've done 4 times, I think, counting last year and then 3 this year, was the event in August at Tammy with the group from Marsh. And for me, it was the celebrating victories and the importance of that. And Lisa, I know you and I talked about this couple of weeks ago when we were out in Washington State talking about the importance of celebrating victories. And what happened to me, what really drove this home is we talked about it through this great experience with Marsh and FCCS and just a wonderful 2.5-3 days. And, you know, once it's over, everybody goes, gets on their plane and travels home. My flight wasn't to the next day. And I'm looking around, wanting to high five somebody, right? And there's nobody there. The hostess at the receptionist at the hotel thought I was nuts, right? And so one of the things that I did was I talked with another friend of mine who is a single shingle entrepreneur. In other words, we do this on our own. is how do we celebrate those victories? And so we agreed together that when we have victories, we were going to call each other and celebrate because it is so important. And we talk about in the course about why celebrating victories are so important. So that was my takeaway. And it was such a great experience with your group, Tammy, everybody. I tell you, it was probably one of the high points in my career. And I'm pretty old, so I've had a fairly long career. It was just a wonderful experience to go through that together with you all and with you, Lisa, over those two or three days.
Likewise. Phenomenal.
Yeah. Well, we are out of time. And so I want to thank you both for taking the time out of your schedules to share your experience on the Lewis and Clark experience. I do have one final question for Lisa, which is, where can our viewers go to learn more and sign up for one of the 2023 experiences?
Well, our kind colleagues have dropped the URL into the chat, for which I'm grateful. You're welcome to reach out to me directly at lisa.kavanaugh@fccsconsulting.com. Or our website is www.fccsconsulting.com/leadership-development/the-Lewis-and-Clark-experience, and you wait forward with dashes between all of the words. That's hard to say out loud, so thank you for putting it in the chat.
Excellent. Thank you so much. And I do encourage everyone, it is an incredible experience to be a part of. Add that to your leadership development program for next year. So thank you both again for carving out time, and thank you to our viewers. Thank you for joining us today on Digital Dialogue. It's been my pleasure to serve as host. We'll see you again in 2 weeks for the next Digital Dialogue. Take care.
Thanks for tuning in to Digital Dialogue. New episodes premiere most Tuesdays at noon Eastern Time, live on LinkedIn. You can find upcoming events on the Institute's LinkedIn event page. If you missed the live session, catch the replay anytime on our YouTube channel or listen on your favorite podcast platform. Stay connected and join us again for more insights and inspiration.